Welcome, everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are in a series, The Gift of the Holy Spirit. Today's message is Revelation and the Holy Spirit. I am Dr. Mary Craig. It is June 4, 2023, and Stephen Craig is going to lead us in an opening prayer.
Holy Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. We thank you for his life of radical obedience, perfect personal perpetual obedience, even to death on the cross. We thank you that he fulfilled all righteousness, even to dying to pay the penalty for sin, redeeming those for whom he died by his blood, the sacrifice of himself. We thank you he brought the reconciliation that overcomes alienation from you, that by this reconciliation we can know you as Father. We thank you that Jesus bore your wrath, bore the curse, bore the sin, and bore the glory. Jesus destroyed the works of darkness, defeating Satan and his kingdom publicly. We thank you, Lord God, for those in Christ. We're chosen before the foundation of the world, and we are accepted in the Beloved. We thank you that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again from the dead, out from among the dead, and ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Almighty. Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords, God the Son, Son of God, ruler over the kings of this earth, and coming again in power and great glory. We thank you for the sending of the Holy Spirit, and we ask that the Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of truth, guiding us into the truth. That he come as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, revealing Jesus Christ to us and granting us wisdom for the days in which we live. We ask that the Holy Spirit open our eyes to comprehend, understand, and perceive what you have for us today. Open the eyes of our minds and open the eyes of our hearts to receive. Honor our desire to glorify you. We come before you in humility, on bended knee, with our heads bowed. We pray that we be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man, which was created according to you, God, in true righteousness and holiness, that you would sanctify us by your word, and by your Holy Spirit, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion, and grace, that we might love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, we turn now to the revelation given to John and some things revealed to the Apostle John concerning the Holy Spirit. At the beginning of Revelation, we find John saying, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." In the salutation, we do not have a direct reference to the Holy Spirit, but we can say that the blessing conferred would be imparted by the agency of the Holy Spirit who applies redemption. So, this is Revelation 1, verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. or some versions say for the time is short. In addressing the seven churches, which are in Asia, John invokes grace and peace from the Godhead. Revelation 1, 4 through 6. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings or kingdom and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So the Father, him who is and who was and who is to come, the Holy Spirit, the seven spirits which are before the throne, Jesus Christ, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness. This is as much a prayer and invocation of blessing as that of number 6, verses 24 to 26. The Apostle John desired and made supplication to God the Father and God the Holy Spirit in the magnitude of his power, and God the Son, that the seven churches in Asia might enjoy their grace and peace, namely, the grace and peace of the Godhead. To say, bless you, we are really praying that God bless someone, in this case, with grace and peace. John was both invoking the Godhead and asking for the Godhead to supply grace and peace. Matthew Henry comments, where grace goes before, peace will follow. The seven spirits in the plural indicate the manifold and various operations of the Holy Spirit in the application of grace, with a reference to Isaiah 11, verse 2, with allusion to the seven churches. Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. In Revelation, we see this type of description used repeatedly to represent the Holy Spirit as resting on Christ for the great ends or purposes which were involved in the execution of the covenant. For example, in Revelation 3, verse 1, Revelation 4, verse 2, Revelation 4, verse 5. In Revelation 3, verse 1, Jesus is said to have the Spirit. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. And then Jesus is said to have the Spirit. The Spirit belongs to Christ and proceeds from him. And you can also look at Hebrews 1, verse 9. Hebrews 4, verses 2 and 5.
Revelation.
Oh, Revelation. Okay, Revelation 4, 2 and 5. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Here we must observe that the Holy Spirit and Christ go together. Those who have Christ have the Holy Spirit. If someone does not have the Spirit, that one is not Christ, doesn't belong to Christ. A person might be a member of the visible church and externally united to him by association with his people. Externally is key word. But unless that person partakes of that vital spiritual union which arises from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that person is only calling himself a Christian. Matthew Henry again comments, the Spirit visits many who are unregenerate with his motions, which they resist and quench, but in all that are sanctified, he dwells. He dwells. He remains. There he is. There he resides and rules. He is there as a man at his own house. The Spirit, Holy Spirit is a spirit, not a man, though. Where he is constant and welcome and has the dominion. Shall we put this question to our hearts? Who dwells, who rules, and who keeps house here? Which interest has the ascendant? End quote. That's Matthew Henry. It is the Holy Spirit who draws. John 6, verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So, the Father draws through the agency of the Holy Spirit. No sinner ever knocks at his door for mercy, or by earnest and importunate prayer, until Christ has first drawn him by the operations of the Holy Spirit. But here is the Father drawing. The Father draws. The Holy Spirit works in us first. He applies the word of conviction and draws the natural man so completely, enslaved by sin and enchained by Satan, and produces a radical change in the heart. So the Father draws somebody, but that is accomplished or carried out by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's drawing frees the mind, the affections, and the will from the reigning power of depravity, and without the Holy Spirit's work, we would reject and remain in our sin, blind and deaf and proudly rebellious against our Creator. Jesus said, you don't believe because you don't belong. Listen to John 10, 26 to 30. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. In the fifth chapter in Revelation, John describes what he beheld in connection with the book written within and without, and sealed with seven seals, which no man in heaven or in earth could open. Revelation 5, verse 6. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. As an aside, the eyes of the Lord and God seeing us has more to do with judgment. Has mostly to do with judgment. The design of this is to communicate to the reader that the Holy Spirit has infinite supplies which Christ imparts. It speaks of the plenitude of power, plenty of power, of the Holy Spirit. Again, remember Isaiah 11, verse 2, describes the Spirit resting on Christ. And this is a quote from BibleForums.org. Someone. Okay. The seven spirits are simply a symbolic representation of the single Holy Spirit, whereas Jesus Christ is symbolized as a lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. The Holy Spirit is symbolized as the seven-branch lampstand. We have to ask, why? Well, Jesus is symbolized as a lamb because he is a sacrifice for man's sin. His seven horns symbolize his perfect power. Horns represent power in Scripture and authority. His seven eyes represent his omniscience, meaning he knows all things. He sees all things. So why is the Holy Spirit the seven-branched lampstand of the temple imagery? Because the lampstand was used in the temple to illuminate the holy place. The Holy Spirit is symbolized as seven spirits, which burn as seven torches of fire, because he is the one who brings people into the light of God. It is through the Holy Spirit that the truth of God is illuminated to us. End quote. When Christ sends the seven letters to the seven churches, he bids them hear what the Spirit speaks to the churches. For it is the person, Holy Spirit, that speaks in and by the gospel, and that speaks in all the word of truth. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We are to hear. The Son honors the Father, John 14, verse 10. The Spirit glorifies the Son, John 16, verses 13 and 14. As the Father honored the Son by bidding the disciples to hear Jesus in Matthew 17, verse 5, for example, in like manner, the Son shows respect and honors the Holy Spirit by saying, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Revelation 2, verse 7. Revelation closes with a call. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. As the Church says, come, the Church is moved by the Holy Spirit to do so. So what can we say? Number one, honor the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by hearing Him and obeying the Word of Truth, the God-breathed Word. You know, it's all about obedience. We're given grace to obey through faith, which works by love, which has more to do with loyalty as far as we're concerned. And the love of God is not some mushy love. It's action. Number two, hear the Spirit by active listening. Ask for wisdom. Ask for Him to open your spiritual eyes to understand, perceive, and comprehend what the Word of God is actually saying. Study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the Word of Truth. The New King James says on this, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of Truth. King James, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of Truth. Number three, humble yourself to the working of the Holy Spirit. May our desire be to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ, to Him who has all authority in heaven and on earth. It really is. Now, it really gets down to what it says in that hymn. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And I know some of you know that hymn and you're thinking it in your mind right now. And then Revelation 22, verses 12 to 21. Behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to give each one according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by its gates. But outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And the one who desires the water of life drink freely. I testify to everyone who hears the words of prophecy in this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, or amen. I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Revelation 22, verses 20, 12 to 21 from the New King James. Revelation takes the fact of an eternal hell seriously. It concludes with the Spirit and the Church urging those who are thirsty to come and to take freely the water of life. At every point, we must see a world which is on a collision course with God's wrath. And we must witness to Christ and the power of his gospel. And there is more.
Those who hear,
see their true condition. Those who are thirsty will heed the call and come. If they do, they will have been drawn by the Holy Spirit to living waters, drawn by the Father, by the working of the life producer, to eternal life. We carry the gospel with us, but mainly in us. We must always be ready to give to everyone who asks an answer for the hope within us. May our lives truly reflect Christ in us, the hope of glory. May we make it plain that the authority of Jesus Christ, and this is really important, may we make it plain that the authority of Jesus Christ undergirds morality. The Bible is not merely the book that has influenced more people of all cultures in all times and in every place on the planet. It is the word of truth, and everyone will stand before the living God. As Pastor Jim would say at the end of his sermons, quote, many will be surprised on the day of judgment when they discover that it was just as the Word of God says, only the righteousness of Christ is able to save you. All men are sinners, and no one can save himself. God is just, so he must punish sin. But he is also merciful, moreover gracious, and offers his Son as the perfect sacrifice in order to purchase a place for you in heaven, which he offers to you as the free gift of eternal life. Jesus is God incarnate. In order to pay the debt of our sin, he came from heaven, having been sent by the Father, where he lived a life of perfect obedience to the Father, even unto the shameful death upon the cross, in order to pay the debt of your sin. This gift must be received by faith, believing that Jesus' perfect life and cross work was his complete and necessary atonement for your sin, in your behalf. Faith is a gift that comes by the power of God, the Holy Spirit working in a person's innermost being. The Holy Spirit has the authority and power to quicken your dead spirit, to make it come to life. If you have not done so before this moment, ask Jesus to forgive you your sin. Tell him you have stopped trying to be your own savior. And ask him to come into your life right now and to give you eternal life. Then, in faith believing, thank him for the gift that he is giving you, the one he paid for in full, in your place. In Jesus' name, amen. Unquote. God is faithful and just. Whenever we confess our sins, that's a lifelong process. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He is preparing those who belong to Jesus Christ for a life eternal. He's preparing a place, and he's preparing us to live with a very holy, a very sovereign Creator Redeemer. Nothing is wasted in our lives. Nothing. Amen. And Father God, I thank you. This is all your work. Thank you that we have studied the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation. And we have studied the benefits of salvation. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a very fragile relationship. Help us to remember the Lord our God. In Jesus' name, amen. And now if you please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of the peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.